Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us again on the Exploring Mining podcast. As an early Valentine's present to our listeners and investors out there, we are going big in the uranium space for the month of February. We will be showcasing some great uranium stories here in North America. Today's interview is with John Cash, CEO of Ur Energy Inc. John speaks to us about his history and knowledge in the uranium sector and how he started as a geologist all the way up to present, running one of the most successful North American producing uranium mines. He talks about their Lost Creek property and production ramping up into 2024 and the possibilities for the Shirley Basin moving ahead. He also speaks about how they have been one of the best at cost production. Stay tuned till the end as John gives some amazing insights as to what to look for as an investor when investing in uranium stocks and some of the highlights to watch out for in the macros and what's next with Ur Energy. With a long history of being in production and with John at the helm, Ur Energy is a uranium stock we will be following closely. Ur Energy Inc. trades under the symbol NYSEURG and on the TSX under URE. This podcast may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are reminded to do their own due diligence. Enjoy the show. John, welcome to the show. For listeners that are new to Ur Energy, I'd like to start off with just a quick overview of your background in uranium. I know that you've had a few years at Ur Energy as the CEO, but can you give listeners the history of how long you've been in the uranium space?
Yeah, sure will. And thank you for the opportunity to be on the show. It certainly is a good time to be talking uranium, but started nearly 30 years ago now as a geologist, doing uranium exploration for some of the majors like BHP and Rio Tinto. After exploration, did that for a few years and then got involved at Smith Ranch here in Wyoming. It's an in-situ uranium mine. Did a little exploration there, then moved into regulatory affairs, and then joined up with Cameco when they bought the facility and worked at their Nebraska Crow Butte mine for 5 years. And during that time, I ran the plant, ran the mine operations as well, and back in 2007, I got a call from Ur Energy, asked if I would come back over to Wyoming, and took the opportunity to do that. Did regulatory affairs for a few years. 2011, became the VP of regulatory affairs, and almost 2 years ago now, became the CEO and chairman of the board. So started the career off as a geologist and pretty much worked everything in between. So master of none, but jack of all trades.
So let's get into Ur Energy story. For listeners that maybe are not as familiar with uranium and just starting to follow the space, can you talk to us about your properties in North America? I think you're obviously one of the bigger uranium stories in North America and one of the ones that's actually in production. Can you talk to us about Lost Creek and some of the history there of your production and then where we're at pretty much in 2023, 2024 starting off?
Yeah, sure will. So we have a number of properties in Wyoming. Some of them are typically classified more as greenfield exploration. We've got some that would be more in the development arena. Discoveries have been made and significant resources in the ground. But really, the company, we have two flagship properties that we typically focus on because one of them, Lost Creek, is in production and has been in production for over 10 years. And the second one is Shirley Basin. It is fully permitted, but has not been built out yet. So I'll focus on Lost Creek first because it really is our leading producer. Right now, it is one of very, very few producers in North America. And when you look at the U.S. right now, there are only two of us that are putting pounds in the can. And so it's this really small universe that we're involved with. Last year, uranium prices were improving consistently. And we were able to sign three long-term offtake agreements, and that gave us the confidence we needed to start ramping production back up at Lost Creek, back up to commercial levels. So since early last year, that's been our mandate, to hire people, get drill rigs back on site, steadily ramp up production, build out new production areas, and ramp up mining so that we can sell that product into those agreements. So last year, our revenue from sales was just over $17 million. Not that much because we didn't sell that much. We only sold 280,000 pounds. And but this year, the contract book goes up to 570,000. Next year, 600,000 pounds. And then in the outlying years, we're looking at 700,000 pounds a year going forward. And those are with major U.S. utilities and global uranium companies or nuclear companies that we've got those contracts with. So we're steadily ramping up, increasing production to be able to serve those contracts. So Lost Creek, it's got a production capacity of 1.2 million pounds a year from the mine and 2.2 million pounds a year from the mill. So lots of room to grow there, lots of room to continue to contract out at Lost Creek. I'll just comment very quickly on Shirley Basin since it's our next project, but it's fully permitted here in Wyoming as well. And we're excited to start in situ mining there because really that's the birthplace of in situ mining in the U.S. So we're excited to bring that technology back to that project. We're looking at about a 24-month time period to be able to build that out and to ramp it up. And so we've not pulled the trigger on it yet, but as we're able to sign more contracts, I'm optimistic that we'll get that one built out, put it into production, looking at a capital cost there of around $40 million to get it up and running. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where the company is positioned right now, selling into those good contracts and looking to sign more high-priced contracts as the market gets hotter and hotter.
While you were speaking about Shirley Basin, can you just give us a little bit of the history on that property and some of the grade that you've seen so far?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a sweetheart project. It's not the biggest project in the world, but it's got some very, very good grade that it's been heavily drilled. It's a very well-known entity. So the resource is 8.8 million pounds of measured and indicated, and the average grade is 0.23 weight percent. And that ore body is very shallow. That's one of the things we love about it. It's only about 350 feet deep, so it's far enough below the water table that we can use in situ mining techniques, but it's also shallow enough that our drilling cost will be relatively low. And again, it's completely drilled out, so we don't have to put money in the drill bit to do exploration or to do delineation drilling. We can go straight away right into production once we get that project going.
One of the things that stands out to me for your energy the most is obviously your cost of production. Can you give investors just some insight as to how you've achieved that over the years and how that's moving ahead forward for 2024?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that because we have established a really good reputation of being a low-cost in situ miner. And back in 2015, when we maximized production during that time period, we were experiencing some very low cost of production. And we understand inflation is real and we're not going to be able to get back to those numbers, but we do believe we're going to continue to be, relatively speaking and looking at our peers globally, a low-cost producer. So back in 2015, our cash cost at the mine was just over $16 a pound. Our all-in mine site cash cost was a little over $33. And then on an all-in basis, including corporate overhead, that put us into the 40s. And again, we know we're not going to get quite back to that, but we believe we can get back to some very low cost, especially as we ramp up to economies of scale. And, you know, a number of reasons we've been able to do that. I'll point to our executive team and our site management, a lot of experience with uranium mining. We're not a company that just talks about it. We're a company that we've done it, and our employees have done it in past lives as well. We've put many, many millions of pounds of uranium in the can. So we're a very practical team, a lot of experience there. But I would comment as well that the quality of the ore body at Lost Creek is very good. It has an exceptionally good high recovery rates. We've averaged about 90% recovery over the last 10 years, and that's quite a bit better than the industry standard of 60 to 80% recovery. And then beyond that, we also have very, very low royalty burdens at Lost Creek and at Shirley Basin, and that helps us keep the cost low. Both of those properties, the average royalty is less than 1%. And if you look at many other U.S. producers, that royalty burden can be from 3 to 8%. Sometimes it's even higher than that. And we don't suffer from that burden. So all of those things have allowed us to keep our costs very low. And we're always looking for better ways to do things and opportunities to drive down cost.
For 2024 and Lost Creek Project, as you mentioned, 570,000 pounds is what you're projecting. How many header houses do you have online right now, and are you planning to bring on a few more for that?
Yeah, so right now we've got 3 header houses in production, and we're going to continue to bring header houses online to make sure we produce at least 570,000 pounds this year. The market is hot. Very often I get asked, are you going to attempt to overproduce to sell into the spot market? And I guess my answer right now is we'll see. We've not made any predictions or public announcements on a total production for this year, other than we want to meet our production goals to fill our contracts. But we'll see where the spot market stays. We'll continue to watch where the ramp up goes. But one other thing that we would like to do is we would like to rebuild some of our inventory going forward. So we'll know more as we get through the year, and we'll see how production goes.
With uranium prices being where they are, which is quite exciting to see, and the market's actually heating up, one of the only markets I think that is in the mining space right now. I know that last year it was issues with inflation and staffing. Has, with these prices changing, is that becoming something that can factor in as far as getting staffing done and seeing some of the challenges dissipate and having a better success for this year?
Yeah, you know, it certainly doesn't hurt when you're seeing stories in major news outlets about the uranium space and where the market's going. That certainly helps our market cap and our share price. Not that we're out raising money right now via any, big equity raises or anything like that. We're well cashed, but it certainly brings more attention to the story. It does bring some excitement to the areas where we're mining, and it does help us attract people. So we hope that continues on as it is. I would point out, though, that as a mining company, we typically sell mostly into the long-term market under contracts, and that long-term price, the published price, is slowly but steadily improving. It's in the low 70s now, depending on what service you subscribe to. Spot market tends to be hotter and more volatile, and but that long-term price is following along. So we've got some really good long-term contracts signed, and we're looking forward to signing additional long-term contracts going forward at even higher prices as that long-term price continues to steadily march higher.
I'm imagining that there's a lot more contracts available and exciting news to be coming out this year as the prices change for anyone that's in the producing structure that you are, obviously.
Yeah, we expect a number of RFPs from utilities throughout this year. We've already seen some activity early this year, and we expect that to continue. Utilities are increasingly appreciating that they need to move away from Russian supply, and so they are increasingly interested in diversifying into North America and into the U.S. specifically. The U.S. still has the largest fleet of nuclear reactors in the world, and so there is a desire to bring some of that production home, and we're well positioned to capitalize on that.
You mentioned just briefly, but can you also talk about your cash position and structure as we head into 2024? I know you said you don't need to raise any capital right now, but just give investors kind of a quick overview.
Yeah, so we did come out with a press release just a few days ago, talked a little bit about the 2023 operations and where the company stands, but we went ahead and disclosed that at the end of last year, we had $59.7 million in cash. We do have a little bit of debt, not very much, a little over $5 million that we owe to the state of Wyoming. Incredibly, the state of Wyoming, they are very supportive, and they actually financed the build out of the Lost Creek mine via a loan. And so that's nearly paid off. We're getting to the very end of that. Last payment on that will be in October of this year. And so we really appreciate that from the state. Good market cap right now, extremely good liquidity in our shares. We're trading on average around 2.5 million shares a day if you look back at the 30-day, and that's been increasing with time. And we're really proud of our share registry. We have some of the most sophisticated uranium investors out there on the institutional side. companies like Station Cove. Sprott's invested in us. With Lloyd's Harbor is a part of Station Cove, of course, they're involved. And MMCAP, CQS, Azarias, and so some people that really know the uranium space. So we take that as quite a compliment that they value our company. And right now we are greater than 50% institutional held.
Well, it seems like you're undervalued then, and definitely people should be paying attention. To just widen the scope, since you've been in the uranium space for so long, what are your thoughts now that we're actually seeing nuclear energy being recognized as something that we have to move towards for the future? How long have you been waiting to finally hear this from governments and actually be embraced as a energy source?
So, yeah, we've seen some cycles. Certainly in 2007, we saw some really good pricing in that time frame. That held up for a short period of time. And, 2011, we had Fukushima that crushed the market for a while. The world really is recognizing that we can't rely just on renewables for baseload power. You've got to have something backing that up because the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. And so the world is increasingly moving toward nuclear power. Interestingly, COP28, which just concluded not that long ago, more than 20 nations said that we're going to triple nuclear power output by 2050. That's like tomorrow in the nuclear space. So the world is running toward nuclear very hard right now. A number of reactors are being built around the world, but that, also in consideration of geopolitics, what's happened with Russia and Ukraine, those are the two factors that are really driving the price. Supply simply is not keeping up with demand right now as more and more reactors are coming online and staying online. Here in the U.S., the projection was, just literally a couple of years ago, that a number of the reactors would be expiring and be turning off over the next 10 to 15 years. But as nuclear has come back in vogue, they have all decided we're going to stay online. And even one reactor in Michigan, they're looking at bringing it back online, even though it's been shut down for a number of years. So the models used to forecast a decrease in uranium demand because those reactors were shutting down. That has reversed itself. Those reactors are staying online. Those utilities are out looking for pounds in the future. So that's additional demand that's really driving the market as well. So it's an exciting time to be in the uranium space, and we believe that since we're an active producer, we've got a leg up on a lot of the competition that just now is talking about potentially permitting or potentially ramping up. So we believe we're in a great position, especially since we've got the cash on hand.
What do you think for 2024 or even maybe beyond? I know we don't have a magic eight ball, but with the prices of uranium heating up and this market, what do you think are some of the challenges that we're going to face as far as the supply and demand side? I mean, do you think there's even a way to fill that gap? It doesn't look that there is with the limited producers at this time, but what do you see as the main challenges for this year?
Certainly, my belief is, and this is a kind of a forward-looking statement, just my projections, but I think it's going to be very difficult for the global uranium miners to keep up with demand for the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years. It's difficult to permit mines, new mines. It's difficult to get the manpower. It's difficult to get the financing to build them out. So there are a lot of significant barriers to entry that will really slow the expansion of mining globally. And I think that demand is far going to outstrip supply for at least a couple of years, if not longer than that. So, yeah, a lot of challenges. We've experienced those challenges ourselves, ramping up Lost Creek. Getting manpower was difficult. We're there now. We've got all the people we need. But it took us a long time to get that manpower. And supply chain, my goodness, what a challenge that can be. We're in a great position at Lost Creek because it's a historically operating mine, so we can recycle a lot of equipment. So we're in good shape there. But when it gets to building out a new mines, for example, our Shirley Basin mine, we know that it's going to take time. Our vendors are telling us, like electrical equipment, you're looking at 18 months in some cases to get those major transformers and motor control centers. And so we've already taken the steps some months ago to begin ordering and purchasing those long lead items, but that's going to interfere with global production. And so last year, 23, very little new production came online. 24, a little more will come online, but it will take time. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Looks like you guys are well positioned to be ahead of the game. As far as the uranium market, we're seeing a lot of M&A that's going on. Are you looking at that as well, or what are your thoughts so far on the M&A that's happening?
Yeah, we've been pretty much an open book on the M&A discussion. We are always looking for opportunities in the uranium space. The challenge we face is our Lost Creek project in Shirley Basin. They're both going to be lower cost producers. So if we're going to merge or acquire, we really want to do that with someone that looks like us with quality assets. And right now there are a lot of assets out there that either are not for sale or they're simply not the quality that we're interested in. So we'll be patient. We've always been patient. We'll be patient going forward, but that doesn't mean that we're not aggressively looking. But to consummate a deal, it's going to have to be with assets that we believe we can put into production economically with a reasonable technical risk. So we'll keep looking. I do expect that globally there will be a lot more M&A in 2024 just because of where the price is at. There's so much interest right now.
I'd just like to turn it a little more personal. You've obviously been in the space for a long time. You've seen the ebbs and flows of this market. For investors that are maybe new to the uranium space, what would you give them as some advice to pay attention to as far as when they're looking at different uranium companies? Obviously, they should definitely check out Ur Energy. But if, when they're just looking in the space and trying to figure out what to do, can you give them some advice of, obviously, you've done this and produced uranium, so...
That's a really good question. There are a lot of names out there that you can invest in. You know, to kind of put that into context, back in the 2007 timeframe when the market got so hot, I've heard that there were about 500 uranium companies that were formed. Virtually none of those exist anymore. They've all gone out of business or they've picked up some other commodity. So investors do have to be very cautious. There will be a lot of companies this time around that don't succeed as well. So would encourage investors, you got to do your homework. And if you don't have time to do the homework, then this probably is not the space for you, or you should consult with someone that does have time to do the homework and has expertise. But the things I would look for is, does the company have a history of production? What was the cost of that production? You know, was it profitable or not? Look back at 2007 when the market was so hot. Was that company able to put their assets into production? And if they couldn't produce economically when the spot was 136 and the long term was around 70, then what's changed between then and now to make us believe that they're going to be profitable going forward? So looking at that, looking at their management structure, their management, have they put pounds in the can before? That's critical because uranium mining is not easy. The regulatory hurdles are substantial. The other environmental hurdles are substantial. So it does require a very knowledgeable expert team to be able to perform. So beyond that, take a look at who are their investors. The institutional investors, are they sophisticated names or are they held mostly by retail? That can be a good indicator too about the quality of the company. So a lot of other things to look at, but those certainly are a few tips to look at when assessing uranium mining companies.
That's a fantastic answer. So I'd like to come to the close of this. For your shareholders that are currently in Ur Energy, is there anything that you would like to say to them and potential investors that are listening? Where can they reach out? I know you're busy. You're on the road a lot. Is there any conferences that are coming up that they can go meet you in person or best ways for them to reach out besides your website?
Yeah, so upcoming conferences, not really a conference per se, but NEDAC up in Toronto is coming up end of this month, early next month, and we'll be there. So if anybody else will be there and they want to talk in person, feel free to reach out to me. Glad to do that. We'll also be hitting the Roth conference out in California a little bit later this spring. So those are a couple of the big conferences that we'll be touching on. But No, there are a lot of catalysts out there right now that investors, current investors and potential investors should watch out for. Geopolitics, watch the U.S. Congress, what they do as far as sanctioning Russia imports of uranium into the U.S. I don't want to make any predictions on that because the U.S. Congress is impossible to predict, but that is something that should be watched. Watch for any press releases we have as we ramp up production at Lost Creek and any decisions we may make on ramping up, building out and ramping up at Shirley. And then I would say, too, that right now we're not on the Russell Index. But going into this spring, I think it's very likely that we will be listed in that Russell Index, and that will require a number of funds to pick up our shares. And that if we're successful getting on that index, that should put some pressure on our share price going forward. So those are some of the catalysts that we're looking for over the next 6 months or so.
Well, that's very exciting. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today, John, and I hope everyone goes and checks out your energy.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Well, that does it for today's Exploring Mining podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, please contact investorideas.com. InvestorIdeas.com reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the InvestorIdeas.com website. All investment involves risk, and this podcast is not meant to be an endorsement to buy or sell securities or products. To hear more podcasts, you can go to InvestorIdeas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeart.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.